You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
I wanted to bring somebody that I've known for a long time in recovery that comes from a family that's all about love. He's all about love. Everything he does in his life today and his sobriety is about love. So I wanted to bring him. I thought it was appropriate for Valentine's Day to bring Anthony back to talk to us. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Lisa.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Same to you all. And everyone else, hope everyone, mothers, daughters, all have a good Valentine's Day today.
Do you think love is important when we even talk about addiction and recovery? Does love have anything to do with recovery from addiction?
I think it's very, yeah, love, yeah. I would say because it's probably one of the most emotional part of the human being, you know, because everybody wants to feel a little love, you know, and I think love plays a very important part of recovery.
Because
it makes you feel like you're worth something, and that's, you know, if you feel that you worth to be loved, then you are somebody and you're worth something. So I think it's a building block also in part of recovery.
Well, you've been around long enough like me, and you know how you hear a lot of psychobabble sometimes where they say, oh, this person wasn't loved. That's why they drank. That's why they smoked that blunt. That's why they smoked that crack. Is that true, you think, because they weren't loved?
No, I think it's more, it's not really love. It's more they feel like they're missing something. I mean, for me, that's what it was.
Excitement?
Right. I don't try to, you know, I think with the psychology part of it, people start trying to group everything in one thing and say, this is a cause of this, or this is a cause of that. I don't think addiction is the cause of that. It's just, how do you know when you cross over and become addicted? Or how do you know that you are an addict or an alcoholic? You know,
How
did I know? Because when it became more important to me to get high and to drink than anything else.
Than love.
Yeah, oh yeah, love, responsibilities, family. You know, I mean, you just get away from the things that are important to you, job-wise. You know, I mean, as far as even bathing and you know, hygienes. And you just get away from you're just focusing on one thing, that drink or that drug.
Does that become the love of your life, or is it more a compulsion?
More of a need,
yeah,
to feel something, because you know you feel like you're dead inside, or you just don't feel like you're part of anything.
So how did you finally? I mean, you've been in and out. Last time you were here, we talked a little about relapse.
Oh,
what
yeah.
do you think? And you know, we talk about how everybody worries when we don't show up for church, or we don't show up for a dinner, or we don't call them back. They think, oh my God, they're relapsing.
Right.
How do you handle all that today? Because you're rocking and rolling with your sobriety right now.
Well, I feel like I have so much going on as far as with work. Work has played a very important part. I mean, it's a very important part of my recovery, but it also is a sense of, I have a sense of responsibility. I have a sense of that I'm something I'm a part of, and that I enjoy doing. Now, once you get to that point, and us addicts are bad about this. I'm bad about this. I get to the point sometimes where I let myself get consumed of too much work and not enough taking care of me.
Nothing in moderation.
Right. That's how we are. We all 100% in, 120% into it, or nothing at all.
And you're in management now.
Oh, yeah. And I've been going, they sent me to these schools. You know, I've been to class now. I just finished a class, and I got to go to another class next month. I'm working 6 days a week.
In the hardest business there is, fast food. My hat goes off to you, Anthony. That's the hardest work, I'll tell you what. How do you deal with all those frustrations in fast food?
I pray a lot, and I pray a lot, and just I try to highlight and see the good that I'm doing for myself, to just to make me feel better, and to continue on and doing what I need to do as far as to stay clean and sober. You know, and sometimes I get distracted. You know, I might focus in on some things that I shouldn't be focusing on, or some people that I feel like I got to have, and then I don't, and then someone to call me on it. You know, like I had my cousin. She called me on a thing that I was doing. I was sending money to someone, and not taking care of my responsibilities. Okay, because I really felt like I needed to do something for this person, you know, like I owed her something. And then once she knocked me around and made me realize some things, and I had to sit back and I had to, you know, rationalize these things and figure out, well, you know what, maybe it's not wrong for me to feel good about myself or to do things for myself anymore, you know. So I think that helped me.
Has the job helped you feel more independent and responsible? And
it has. It made me feel
so. It doesn't matter what kind of work it is. If you're in recovery, just work. Be responsible.
Well, I think when you first get into recovery, if you you need to really find out. You need to get your spiritual connection, number one. Okay, and get your good sponsor, number two, and go to meetings as much often as you can. Even when you don't feel like going to a meeting, go to a meeting. Especially in the beginning, I think the first year, I think, is probably the most important to try to hit as many meetings as you can. Talk to your sponsor as much as you can, because you're going to be in this emotional roller coaster up and down for about at least the first year.
Absolutely.
And it takes a minute to get your feeding under you, where you feel comfortable about yourself. Because see, I still have these insane thoughts about, you know, I used to be an addict. I used to be a drug addict. You know. So I try to turn it around and make it seem like, you know, maybe if someone can see me change the way that I'm living, you know, and feel good about myself, then maybe that person would be able to change their way. Well, if he did it, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think
that's
why I come to this show with you today. You know, you call me and you say, hey, can you? I'm like, well, sure. You know, I mean, I have no problem with it because I have to give back. What's been given to me from people like you, Lisa, and the people in the program.
So, Anthony, you're not embarrassed to talk about your addiction?
No, I'm not embarrassed about it because, you know,
good for
there's you. A lot of people that has done a whole lot worse than me. You know, I've been through a lot of things, you know, and I still have a little bit of my brain left. Okay, I haven't fried all it up yet, you know what I'm saying? And so I have a little bit of that left. I'm functioning in a pretty high-paced, high-motivating, and then I have my spiritual fix when I can get a chance to get there.
Absolutely.
You know, and I have a loving family, too, like you said. You know, that plays a very important part of me, too, because I know people care about me.
And they're watching you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do love you.
Even though you might not think they are, they really are watching.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're really concerned about you, too.
So you don't have to be defensive when people want to know where you are or why you didn't show up anymore.
No. I mean,
it's because they care.
Right. I mean, I'm really glad that they do.
Yeah.
That lets me know that, you know, that if they have enough urgency in them to feel that way to call me up and get on me about something or say, hey, look, you're not doing this. Well, that's a showing of love.
I think so.
You know, and I'm very proud to have the family that I have because they, you know, they go all that way for me to do a lot of things for me, you know.
They've forgiven, haven't they?
Yeah, oh yeah. And I think it's time for me to be responsible, okay.
And accountable.
And accountable for my actions, you
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? And my life is open book.
Isn't that the best Valentine gift you can give anybody?
Oh, definitely.
Just be accountable, dependable, responsible.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest... for me, it is.
Biggest gift.
I like that I'm so transparent that you can see right through me and you know exactly who I am and what I am and what I'm doing.
So what signs would, if you were slipping back, because they say the relapse starts long before
they pick up. It's already.
How would somebody know if you were slipping? What would signs be?
I think number one would be calling into work, missing work.
So that's a sign, yeah.
Okay. Not handling your money properly, okay. Not being isolating yourself, you know. Quite
getting defensive again.
Oh yeah. Well, why do you think this? Or you know, the signs are all. It's easier because it was so funny. Like because I work with a lot of young people.
Oh yeah,
and they go out
they'll
to party
teach you a lot.
And I look at them like, man, you know. And I tell them, I said, you know, I've been there. If you ever need anyone to talk to about things. And then I have older people that work there with me, too, that have been there, that were in a halfway house with me, that's in the recovery that I talk to on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of have like our little mini
sure.
AA meetings,
sure.
NA meetings
your
right there.
Your little fellowship right there.
Right. So that way, you know, like...
And stays connected.
And then the ones who are out there still, using and abusing themselves, you know, then they come to me and they say, man, do you think I might have a drinking problem? Do you think I might be an alcoholic or an addict? You know, and I throw it back to them. I'm like, what do you think?
Ooh.
Okay, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, why would you even ask?
Yeah. Well, you know, you've been there and you know, you told me this and that about how you used to be and how you are today. And, you know, I give them like a little mini story, you know, mini lead, as they say. I give them a little mini lead about what my life was about.
That's how AA grew.
Yeah. And then they see that I walk around and
do the deal.
You know, you walk the walk, you talk the talk, you know, and you put all the other stuff aside. And see, my therapist, when I was in Stepping Stone, I owe that lady a lot, because I couldn't find, you know, I was, you know, they give you so much time, you got to find a job in so many weeks and all this, you know, and the pressure was on me to find a job. And her name is Vicky. I can say her first name.
Oh, sure.
And she, I said, yeah, you know, I just got hired at McDonald's, you know, and I felt like, my God, I got the, you know, fast food.
McDonald's,
I said, I worked
in,
you know, I worked
in
Old Charlie's, I worked at Olive Garden. I worked at some of the nicest restaurants in this tri-state city and other cities, and here I am going to fast food McDonald's, you know. I said, I never thought, you know, everybody thinks model high school kids and all this kind of stuff. So,
It was a very humbling move.
She told me, she said, you know, one day you probably be managing that store or even owning one.
Wow.
And now I look back at that, I'm like,
she had such confidence.
She saw something in me that I didn't even realize I even had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I had beat myself down so hard and so roughly that, you know, I felt not worthy of anything like that. But to be able, with this program, with people who saw things in me that I didn't see, okay, pointed these things out to me. And it made me... You know, it's like a new awakening, a new birth, you know what I'm saying? Starting
absolutely.
All over again and feeling good about yourself all over again. You know, I mean, I told my aunt one day, you know, I said, you know, I might not make $100,000 a year, you know, I might not make the big money, but I make enough to take care of everything I need to take care of, and I still have a little change left over.
And you have gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
And you made in 1 hour what you're making now in 1 week, but you're happier now. You're free.
Oh, yeah. Of that bondage of the addiction and the alcohol,
the lies, the lies,
and the conceiving, and
at you, happy to be a manager at McDonald's. Wow!
Oh yeah. It's because I always enjoyed the food service anyway. I love that industry anyway. But it was part because there's so many people in that industry that it uses.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, so you know,
it's
you
all about talking about those parties.
Right. So you got to be careful about how you.
Position yourself.
Yeah, and how you approach yourself. Mm-hmm. See, because, like, people, you know, the addiction is a very slippery, tricky thing. You know? It'll put something right there in front of you, and you don't even realize it's there until it creeps right up on you. Because, you know, like when, now that I don't drink anymore, I'm so sensitive to alcohol, smell is unreal. It is unreal. I mean, it's like they can walk in the door, at the front door, I'm in the office, I'm like, oh, my God, he's been drinking again. You know, I don't know who this person is. You know, I'm like, it just amazed me now that, you know, when you get a little bit of time behind you, you know, things you're sensitive are so much sharper. You're so much aware.
Now you know how your parents and family knew when you were reeking.
Oh, yeah.
Under the influence. We thought we were so slick. Well, Radio Rehab, don't go away. We're just going to take a break for a minute. Feel free to call anytime. Anthony is so open about himself and his past and his dreams and goals. We'll come back and talk more to him after the break, so don't go away.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Real psoriasis sufferers get real results from Dermarest. The psoriasis on my knees, the itchiness can drive you crazy. I have tried everything. Dermarest is the best product I have ever used.
Dermarest Psoriasis provides complete relief, removing scales, letting healthy skin grow. And now Dermarest is improved with a unique zinc complex that moisturizes and reduces redness. Feel your best and look your best with Dermarest.
Hello, Dermarest. Goodbye, psoriasis.
Now you can get the furniture, appliances, electronics, and computers you really want and leave your money at home. Only with Rent-A-Center's free until February 7th event. It's brand name merchandise with no credit checks, no credit needed, and no money down. So forget your wallet and forget your purse. But don't forget, it's free until February 7th. Only at Rent-A-Center. We make it easy to make it your own. This is a rental purchase transaction. Offer ends February 7, 2009. Excludes TVs 37 inches or larger. See store for details.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
We're back talking to Anthony, and he is so interesting on Valentine's Day, just about love and the role love can play in helping people get better. Anthony, before the show started, we were talking about, and I thought this was fascinating, you said sometimes recovering alcoholics and addicts do better with failure than they do with success, that success is more stressful sometimes. Do you think when people do get clean and sober, one of the things that happens is they get a little too much happiness? Is that possible?
I wouldn't say too much happiness. I think they get too comfortable. You get where you're real comfortable in what you're doing, and you get out of focus, and you forget what had happened to you in the past. You know, I try to remember the last time I got high, the last time I drank, so I don't want to ever forget that. Because that keeps me clean and sober today, mm-hmm. because it makes me aware of what's really going on. So a lot of times we stop going to meetings, stop calling our sponsor.
Just think you don't need it anymore.
You think you fixed or cured. I really wasn't an alcoholic. I really wasn't an addict, you know. So I don't think that I need this anymore. And then we get to the point sometimes where I got to the point where it's like, okay, well, I can have a beer. You know, it ain't gonna hurt nothing. I drank one beer, and I might drink that one beer, and not drink another one for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then the next time, I might drink another beer, and that turns into a 12-pack.
And then you're smoking crack.
Right back where I started. You know, and then what's the one thing about relapsing is that once you relapse, you usually hit the bottom a lot faster, a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like you picked up right where you left off at. You get to that point again where you pick it right back up where you left off at.
And it gets worse, doesn't it?
Because, like, you know, I think it makes you... The thing that I'm most afraid of now is that all the abuse I did to my body, all the drugs and alcohol that I put into my body, I wonder, you know, I look at some other people that has the shakes, can't really focus, you know, on too much things in one time, or, they call that wet brain.
Organic brain damage, sure.
Right. And so, you know, I fear that more than anything now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm a little bit more healthy. And then, like, my mom gets on me about smoking because I smoke, you know, and she gets on me, oh, you need to. I said, you know what, Mama, I
one thing at a time, yeah.
You know, let me knock this one away.
Tell her you can't get popped for nicotine driving.
Yeah. There you go.
Give you time.
I can't do no time for smoking a cigarette.
That's right. Give you a little time as you get weller and healthier,
right,
one thing
right.
at a time. But you're in a business where people are talking about drinking and
all the time. But you know, what kills me is like they know that I don't hold no punches.
Right.
I let them know right up front. Look, you know, I used to be an addict and alcoholic, and I still am an addict and alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm one drink away or one drug away. You know, so I let them know. I said, look, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but it's fun right now. But when it crosses the line and becomes something that you have to do or you have to have, then you might have a problem. And then they'd come to me, you know. And I had some people come to me and say, you know, I'm going to try not to drink for a week or two.
Your family's going to come to you, too. just wait. They're going to have other family members that they're concerned about, and you're going to become the hero in the family in some ways. I was shocked when that happened to me. It's like I was the black sheep. Now they're calling me, hey, my son's been... So it is interesting how here the black sheep end up being the experts on how to help people get clean and sober in the rooms.
It was a lady that was at Stepping Stone that she's a counselor there. I think she's probably a therapist. And me and we was taking a break from our class that we had up here. And me and another friend of mine that was in the class with me, we went over to had lunch. And she came in there and she said, you know, it's people like you that make me feel like my job is worth doing what I'm doing.
What a
you
compliment.
Right there. Yeah, and just, oh, wow, my chest had, pumped up a little bit, and it made me feel good that she would actually remember me, number one.
And be inspired by you.
Yeah.
Remembering
you
is one thing.
You ever think about coming to work for us? No.
Yeah, I think that might be a good move.
That alone,
feels good.
Oh, yeah.
That affirmation.
And you need that. I could see, in the person that I was with, because she's been through the program, and how it made her feel. She smiled a little bit, and a little glow come over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for us, Every now and then we need to be stroked a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's good for us, and it's good for the person who's doing it, because they let us know. That builds a confidence in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with the job that I have now, I'm in a position where I can help people.
Well, a friend of mine's son that's very active in the black community, his son just came back and is going to be going to the rooms, and we were talking about the winners that he needs to hook up with coming back into the community where all he knew were people that were using, and you were the first person that came to my mind. I said, let me get Anthony and see if he'd be available to talk to your son. And I called you, and immediately you said, anytime, give him my number.
Right.
That is the stuff that makes you feel good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
To be a messenger.
And I try to be behind the scenes a lot because my family has been so much in the community in front, And then, I've been kind of like an eyesore for him, in a lot of ways. I've been like a little eyesore for him, What is he going to do next?
What are we going to do with Anthony now? The committees all meet.
Like the show, The Intervention. Shake him up, Come on, get it together, brother.
Yeah.
It's good that I'm able to help anybody in any kind of way.
You've given your parents bragging rights now, though. Every parent needs bragging rights, but your addiction took you somewhere that nobody, all the love in the world couldn't bring you back. So on Valentine's Day, love can work, but only, when the person is willing to dress up and show up and suit up, too. I mean,
right.
You can't love a cancer patient into health anymore than you can love an addict into recovery.
That's right.
You grow.
Something that this program has taught me is that, you have to... If you put just as much as you put into it, drinking and using, if you put just 10% of that, in recovery, that alone will save your life.
Yeah.
Just that small bit.
Yes.
Because, some of the things, that we went through in order to drink and use, to the extremes, we're facing penitentiary time, we're facing
losing kids, losing.
You put yourself in dangerous situations, and very unhealthy environments, the effort that we put into that, if we just put that small amount into trying to, get into recovery, to turn it around, it's amazing what you can do, and just a little bit of time, I moved out of recovery house, I have my own place, I started out as a crew person in McDonald's. Within 8-9 months, I'm the first assistant of a store.
Wow.
Everybody said, God, why are you always smiling when you come to work? I said, because God blessed me another day.
Just that gratitude.
Oh, you have to.
That attitude of gratitude.
And you know what? And it rubs off.
Yes, it does. It's contagious.
I come in, hey, how you guys doing this morning? And they probably have been in a bed. They probably went through.
Didn't sleep.
I got people coming off of the morning shifts want to come and work night shift. Because they hear that, he works with you, not against you.
What a compliment, Anthony.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know what? That alone, I might not make $100,000 a year.
No, but...
but it's not about the money.
This isn't about money, yeah.
But then again, I always thought it was.
I was going to ask you, is money always part of that addicted mind too?
Oh, yeah, because I've always had it so easy, at least when I was growing up. I had it, I had it so easy, and especially when I lived in L.A. for so many years, I always had good jobs, paid good money. And I didn't really, you know, I had that gift of gab. I could get in there, man, if I could just get that interview in there and sit down with that guy, he's going to hire me. I had that much confidence in myself. And I got a lot of good jobs that way.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, and I took a lot of, you know, a lot of shortcuts to get a lot of things that I wanted. But now, you got to pay for all that.
Mm-hmm. Comes around.
Comes back around. You know, you get up a little bit in age, and, you know, and things you don't have that good looks as you thought you used to have anymore.
Yes, you
so,
do.
So, you know, so life kind of like, you know, okay, you know, you get a little belly, and there's
sounds
lot,
like
lot
you're
more
really
things.
Growing up.
Oh.
At our old age, we're growing up.
Growing up, becoming an adult now.
Yeah, doggone it. You're even thinking like one.
Yeah, putting them toys away.
Yep, yeah. And that toy thinking.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I mean, I've been truly blessed. I've been truly blessed to have the family that I have, to have the support that I have, and to be able, you know, God has blessed me enough to, he was talking the other day, asked me about how many meetings I've been going to. I'm like, well, I try to hit one once a week at least.
Good.
But the thing that I said, well, you know, church plays a very important part of my life. And he's saying, well, why do you all gravitate toward church? I said, because, you know, I feel the seed was planted in me a long time ago when I was growing up by my parents, you know. So when the seed was planted there, so that way I had no other choice. Well, I had other choices because I got away from it for so many years. But I finally gravitated toward, you know, got back to it. And when I go, I'm getting that. I'm looking at somebody who's going to give me the inspiration to continue to do what I'm doing. And plus, I'm learning a little bit more about, you know, the spiritual part and the connection part with God, because it draws me closer. You know, and
do you think
know,
there is that need in the black community for that religious connection as well as the AA connection, that there's more of a need for both? And do you think your church, are you accepted for being an addict alcoholic in church?
It doesn't matter. Okay. I come to the point to realize, you know, it doesn't matter what, I can't worry about what people think about me. I've done it for so many years.
Mm-hmm. So they know you're in recovery when you go to church? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. If you want to know, I tell you. If you don't want to know, you know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I mean, because, like, we all come from different walks of life.
Because people are embarrassed about it, some people.
Some people are, some people aren't. I'm not.
Good
for
you.
I can't let it eat me up like
that.
Because, you know, I look at it like this. I learn a lot by doing it. And if I can help someone else not to go down that road that I went down, you know, that... It's all been worthwhile. If it's only just one person, if I could just pull one person out of the thousands that's out there, then it's worth me coming on Radio Rehab talking about.
Right, and Memorial Churches has a women's meeting now on Tuesdays, so they've even got some 12-step meetings in the church now.
Oh yeah, I think that most of your meetings are held in churches.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, a lot,
especially in the bigger cities.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, most of them, majority of them are. You know, I mean, because, you know, people get away. You know, and I understand AA's way of thinking, because, you know, if you come at them too spiritually like that, you're going to run them away, because, like,
some people are allergic to the God concept,
well,
no doubt about
some
it.
Some people have some bad experiences in churches.
That's true,
okay?
Too.
Okay, and so they've turned off about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to come at them in a different way in order to get them to realize, okay.
That's true.
It's your, you know, it's you and your God. It's nobody else's
right.
God, okay? I'm selfish. That's my God, okay? That's who I pray to. That's who I, you know, who's guided me through. I mean, he brought me to AA. No one else did. You know,
that's right.
I had to open my eyes to see it. You know,
that's
and
true.
So,
you got to open your eyes and heart to get that
right,
love
to get
in.
There. So I felt like that, you know, if someone is in a, you know, in a storm, you know, and they can't figure out what's really going on with them, and if I can guide them or suggest to them, hey, you know, go to rehab and sit down for about 60 days or 30 days. Get yourself clean and sober.
Mm-hmm.
Get you some
get
food
the
cobwebs in
you. Out of there.
Yeah, get you some food in you. Get,
yes.
get on a routine, you know, where you're getting up, you're eating 3 meals a day.
Yes.
You know, you're focusing on some other things, on yourself, to figure out, you know, do I have a problem or not? Is this taking over my life? You know, or is it causing me any legal problems?
Mm-hmm.
You know, any family problems? You know, if we can sit back. And what's sad about it, you know, like because of the way the economics is right now, with everything, you know, all these delays,
people
all
are scared.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, and then oh my God, we've had a fluctuation of more people in problems with alcohol and, yeah, and drugs, you know.
Yeah.
And it's scary. You know,
we're in the right place at the right time.
Oh, I think so. I think so too. Because, you know, if because it's going to get tough out here.
Mm.
And a lot of times we just want something to make us feel good.
That's true.
You know, and alcohol and drugs have sometimes
can get you there quick.
Real quick.
But deceptive, oh my God. Oh, yeah. So
you're down a very, very, very dark road, you know.
Full of hate and bitterness. So for Valentine's Day, to close, you obviously are a demonstration of love, love of recovery, love of your job, love of your family, love of your God. In closing, do you have any tidbits of information to give all the Valentines and people of love out there of ways to help people they love and are concerned about get what you have? Where should they go?
Can they
call you here at Radio Rehab if they have any questions?
If they have any questions about love.
Okay, call Tony.
Yeah, and I'll be happy to inform you on anything. But I like to say this, you know, that I haven't had a chance to call my mom. But I like to say that, you know, without the love of my mother, okay, I wouldn't be here today.
Mm.
Without the love of my father, I wouldn't be here today. But without the love of my family, my whole family, but those two people are very special to me because they've done a lot for me and they hung with me through all the
nothing
the ups
like
and
a
downs.
Mother and father. Oh. Oh my. Couldn't tell them thank you enough, huh, Anthony?
I can't. There's no way I can ever repay them for what they've done for me.
What a great way to close it out.
Oh yeah.
We're going to have Anthony back, you guys. This has been a great show, and it really is about love. So go learn where you can help those you love get where they need to get to be healthy and happy like Anthony is. And until we talk to you again next week on Radio Rehab, have a great day. Love everybody you can. Love yourself. And don't forget to do the next right thing.
The Pump, 1400 AM, WEOA, Evansville, Henderson.